Okay, magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat at pagpalain kayo ng Panginoon. Isang linya dun sa inawit natin kanina ay 10,000 thousands are their tongues, but all their joys are one. This refers of course to the saints already in heaven. Yung kanilang mga dila ay ginagamit sa pagpupuri sa Panginoon. Medyo kabaligtaran dito sa atin. We have one tongue, and yet we have thousands of sins we can commit with that one tongue. And that is why we are taking seriously the sins of the tongue. Part ng ating long series on Christian holiness, which is now over a year, although off and on, over a year na natin pinag-aaralan, nasa part tayo ng mortification and cultivation. And as I said, tungkol sa mortification, you do not mortify sin in general. Mortification is about specific sins. That's why we are going through specific sins in our lives. And there have been several sins we have gone through, like anger, covetousness, etc. We are now in the sins of the tongue. And precisely because there are a multitude of sins we can commit with our tongue, tinitingnan natin ang iba't iba nito, nasa ikaapat at huli na tayo ng ating pag-aaral. But let us just remind ourselves of how important the tongue is as a revealer of our character. Pinapatunayan nito ang uri ng karakter mayroon tayo. Sabi ng James 1:26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, his religion is worthless. Yung walang pagpipigil ng dila. Now, pag sinabing dila, pinaliwanan ko na ito noon, it refers both to talk and words, whether spoken or written. That's the tongue. So whether words spoken or words written, we sin with our tongue and we reveal our character by how we speak, how we write using words. And then, the potential of the tongue. Kapag ginamit mo yung dila sa pananalita o panunulat, sa tandaan mo ang kayang gawin ng dila. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. So, may effect sa atin. Hindi ibig sabihin literally, the tongue will kill you or... What it means is that such is the disparity of effects ng tongue kapag ginamit sa tama o sa mali. And then, consider the judgment of the tongue. Sabi ng Panginoong Jesus mismo, every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Just take that seriously and that should make you tremble. Manginginig ka dapat dyan. Bawat salitang walang katuturan na iyong you utter ay liable for judgment. So, we are considering the tongue in terms of the two ways we use it. We either talk to people, we use the tongue talking to people or writing to people, or talking about people, writing about people, that is the use of the tongue. And in our study so far, we have considered the three sins of the tongues. The first is gossip. Gossip is talking ill about other people. So again, kapag ikaw ay nagsalita ng masama laban sa iyong kapwa at para sa mga Kristiyano, laban sa kapatid, nagsalita ka sa ibang tao, lalo pat hindi may kinalaman sa iyong pinag-uusapan, walang kinalaman sa pagpapabanal, kundi para lang bigyan ng masamang larawan ang taong ito, give a bad light to the person, that is gossip. And how many Christians are guilty of that? Jerry Bridges said so. Pinakita ko yung kanyang sinabi na maraming mga Kristiyano ay aminado na ito ang kanilang, sa kanyang aklat na tinawag niyang respectable sins. Sins that they do not take very seriously. Gossip is the leading one. So we need to take this seriously. Talking ill about other people. And then the second sin is sin of flattery. Flattery is insincere praise to gain favor. So yan ang ginawa natin na uri ng ito hindi talking ill, this is talking praise. But praise that is insincere. And the reason why they praise is out of the motive na may mag-gain silang favor doon sa kanilang binubola, sa kanilang pina-flatter. And then last week, we considered the sin of crudity. Crudity is offensive language without any sanctifying intention. Now again, take note, like I said concerning gossip, I said of crude language that the truth or falsehood of it is immaterial. Hindi mo pwede sabihin, eh, chichismis ko siya, totoo naman sinasabi ko. Eh, ganito rin, magsasalita ako ng offensive language, totoo naman sinasabi ko. The truth or falsehood is immaterial because that is not how Christians should think. That is not how Christians use their tongue. So, any of this can be the sin of the tongue. But for today, we will conclude with the most obvious sin of the tongue. For many, perhaps you were expecting this to be the first. I wanted this to be the last in order to have the context of the other sins of the tongue, because lying can happen in all these sins of the tongue. And the last of the sins of the tongue, and the most obvious one, is lying. Pagsisinungaling. Remember, Pinocchio, ano kaya't nangyayari talaga sa atin yan? Na tuwing may kasinungalingan kang sasabihin, hahabang ilong mo, ay baka hindi tayo magkasya sa room, sa hall natin ito. Puro mahabang ilong. But I define sin of lying as, take note, every word is important here, deliberate misrepresentation of facts when those facts are needed and deserved. So every word here is important. So, paliwanag natin yan. I am distinguishing facts and truths. I'll tell you later paano sila na-distinguish. We're talking of facts as matters of information regarding events, people in time and space. So, sino siya, ano siya, nasan siya, anong date, etc. These are matters of facts. Truth is a matter of ideas, views, doctrine, theology. So, we are distinguishing matters of facts and truth, and lying is about facts. Then, the recipient must have necessity and legitimacy. Again, I shall show how in the clarification section this applies. Not all people deserve to be told the facts. The classic case, of course, ay isang sundalo na nahuli ng kaaway at pagkatapos pasasabihin sa kanya anong mission niyo, nasa ng mga kampo niyo. Now actually, the Geneva Convention allows only the soldier to tell the name, rank, and yung kanyang number, serial number, that's the legal. Pero hindi siya pwedeng piliting sabihin ang kanyang mission. But you know what happens in war. As they say, everything is fair when it comes to love or war. So, ang nangyari, torture para lang pasabihin. But it shows that the recipient must have necessity and legitimacy. Now, gusto kong sabihin sa mga bata, your parents have necessity and legitimacy. Wag na wag ninyong sabihin, ililihim ko na lang kasi baka magalit, baka i-withhold ang allowance ko, o sa mas bata pa, baka paluin ako, itatago ko na lang. Naku, hindi pwede, mga bata, kabataan, pag kayo'y nasa custody ng inyong magulang, your parents have legitimacy, your parents have authority and necessity. Then, why I said deliberate misrepresentation. Misinformed inaccuracy is not lying. Yung may nasabi ka na hindi mo lang talaga alam, nagkamali ka ng pagkasabi, because of misinformation, ay that's not lying. Kung lying yan, napakaraming ulit kung nag-lie from the pulpit. Kasi Marami akong sinabing over 38 years of using the pulpit that I discovered later was not very accurate. But I was not lying. I was not deliberately misrepresenting. So that's not lying. Lahat tayo nangyayari yan kasi kulang ang information natin. Nasabi natin, isang dahil sa hearsay, narinig natin, inilipat natin sa isa, nagkamali ka pala ng sinabi, but that's because of misinformation, not because of deliberate misrepresentation. So we also make that very clear. Lying is deliberate misrepresentation of facts when needed and deserved. So we need an important point of reminder. Ginamit natin ito last time sa Colossians 4 and 6. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. A Christian must always be mindful of two things in his speech. The first is truth in content. Dapat yung sinasabi mo ay may katotohanan. Yan ang una. Kaya nga maski sa inaawit natin, yung mga nagsusong lead, namimili ng songs, tingnan nyo yung awitin. Not everything in the grace hymns are right. May mga mali dyan sa grace hymns, huwag mong sabihin na reformed yan. So, there can be wrong lines. And sometimes, if nung ako ang nagpiprepare, ay tinatanggal ko yan, kaya pinapalitan, kagaya nung sinabi natin na I'll trust in the God of miracles originally, pinalitan natin ng I'll trust in the God of providence. So, there can be mindful tayo sa truth. And then, as we said last week, we must be mindful of our tone. So, sa dalawang bagay tayo mindful pag tayo nagsalita, in all encounters of speech, always be truthful, always be seasonable or seasoned in your tone, not crude with your language. Now, concerning lying, some clarification. Because there are episodes in the Bible that you cannot deny some misrepresentation of facts happened, and yet those who misrepresented were later commended by no less than God. How do you account for that? An example would be, tingnan natin, merong ethical hierarchy in cases of conflict of standards. Take the case of the Hebrew midwives. Anong sabi ni Pharaoh? Dumarami ng Israelites. So inutusan niya ang mga midwives na nagpapaanak sa mga Hebrew women. Kapag lalaki ang ipinanganak, itapon niyo sa Nile River. Yun ang utos. This is authority. Is there a standard that we obey authorities? Yes. Pero, yung inuutos ni Pharaoh will mean killing babies. So, anong sabi ng midwives? Eh, hindi po, malalakas sa mga Hebrew women. Kapapanganak pa lang, tumatakbo na. Ang tatawa ka sa reasoning na. Vigorous, they were vigorous. Ibig sabihin na itatakbo na nila yung kanilang mga anak. They said, makikita mo rito, itong Pharaoh na to, walang kaalam-alam sa mga Israelites. At napaniwala siya. So, pero tingnan niyo yung sinabi sa Exodus tungkol sa mga midwives na ito. Bakit nila ito ginawa? The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. So, misrepresentation of facts ito. But does that mean they sinned? Hindi. May commendation nga eh. They were commended that they were God-fearing. The very God-fearing motive was the reason why they misrepresented the facts to Pharaoh. Again, go back to the previous one, who did not have legitimacy as far as knowing the facts is concerned, because he was after their ill. Gusto niyang pumatay ng mga bata. Eh, magagamit natin ito sa usapin ng abortion at iba pa, but we leave this at that. So, isa yan, Hebrew midwives. Then there's the case of Rahab. Alam mo nangyari kay Rehab, tumakbo ang mga Israelitang spies sa kanyang bahay. She was a prostitute. So, puntahan siya talaga. Nagpunta sa bahay niya, ang mga spies inahabol, tinutugis ng mga taga Jericho at itinago niya sa may balon. At anong sinabi niya? Nung nakita mo ba yung mga espiya? Ang sabi niya, opo, tumakbo roon. Deliberate misrepresentation of facts. But, again, later, she was commended. Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she, the man Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. Kinumen ng faith niya, not only in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, kasunod ng kay Abraham, ang ginamit na example of work of faith was Rahab. Again, what do you have here? Mga sundalong kalaban na ang gustong gawin, patayin ang mga espiya. Si Rahab naman, gusto niyang makipag-identify with the people of God. May sinabi na siya rito na narinig ko ang mga gawa ni Yahweh at kinikilala ko na siya ang tunay na Diyos. So, identifying with the people of God led to her hiding soldiers or spies of the people of God and then misrepresenting the facts to enemies. And for that, she was commended for her work of faith. Then, you have, of course, David. Before Abimelech ay nag-faint siya ng madness. Gusto ng mga soldiers ng king na patayin itong si David. Thorn ito sa ating side, sabi nila. Nung dalhin si David sa kanyang court, anong ginawa ni David? Nag-asal-aso. Naglalaway-laway pa. Magaling na actor talaga si David. Napaniwala niya na this is a madman. And in those days, it was superstitious for people na don't touch madmen because their madness might transfer to you. So, ayaan mo lang sila. So, nangyari yun. And later, David composed a psalm praising God for deliverance in this very situation ng Psalm 34. Hindi ko mabasa yung title, but nasa Psalm 34, where this is deliverance when David feigned madness. So this is a praise to the Lord, and Psalm 34 is a beautiful psalm. I have there one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, Psalm 34:9, O come and see and taste that the Lord is good. Lumapit kayo, danasin ninyo ang kabutihan ng Diyos. And yet, he misrepresented himself. What we can learn here is that there is hierarchy of ethical values. Hindi ito, let me make it very clear because this is an issue in ethics. You are never right to do evil. Some people call this doing the lesser evil. No. It's not doing the lesser evil because it is never right to do evil. What this is, in conflicts, we do the higher good. Kasi dalawang bagay man na mabuti ang nandito. Mabuting sumunod sa nakatataas, sa otoridad, gaya ng midwives. Pero kung ang otoridad, walang mabuting intensyon, kundi mas masama. Kesa kung i-preserve mo ang facts. In cases of conflicts, the higher good is preserved life. So between preserving facts and preserving lives is the higher good. So hindi ito doing the lesser evil. This is doing the higher good. Now, this is an issue in ethics and there are many discussions on this, but I'll leave it at that. Na pagdating sa lying, there are certain conflicts where misrepresenting may be legitimate when the recipient does not deserve it and does not intend good and there is a higher standard. In this case, the standard of preserving life. So, again, by clarification, hindi ito nag-extend sa biblical truth. Kung sabihin na, may persecution, itago natin yung ating pangangaral. Biblical truth always calls for honest communication. 2 Corinthians 4:2. We have renounced shamefully hidden activities, refusing to walk in craftiness or to adulterate God's word, but by making the truth apparent, we commend ourselves to every person's conscience in God's gift. Kaya kung pinag-iba ang facts and truths. Truths are matters of teachings. It is never right to lie. It is never right to deliberately misrepresent truth. Because why? The reason is, salvation and sanctification of souls are at issue. Ang nakasalalay dito, kaligtasan ng mga makasalanan, kabanalan ng mga mananampalataya. Hindi mo pwedeng i-misrepresent para lang makaiwas ka. And there had been in the history of Christianity, people who had been willing to die. Now, I don't know what I will do when in that situation, but I know in my mind that what is for Christians to do is to stand by the truth. So, yan ang limitation. Yes, you can misrepresent facts, but you do not misrepresent the truth. Especially when we are talking about the truth of the scriptures. So, learn one thing that we must also emphasize. Pag nag-iisip tayo ng lying, who lies? Everybody. It is native to us. It is native and inborn of us. Lahat ay guilty ng kasinungalingan. Kaya huwag mong sabihin na since the day I was born, I never said anything but honesty. Oh, yung palang, kasinungaling ka na. So, the Bible says, lying is a universal sin. Oh, bata pa lang. Psalm 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. So, kahit pa umuuha lang yan, meron ng lamang kasinungalingan sa puso. Yan ang sinasabi. We have an inborn lying propensity. Kaya ang bata, hindi mo kailang turuan magsinungaling, magsisinungaling yan. Pero ibig bang sabihin, hindi mo siya tuturuan na magsabi ng totoo? Of course you will. And this is the difference. Children, whatever you do, will lie. But a child trained to tell the truth will not be a good liar. That I tell you. Mag-lie man siya, kitang-kita mo na sa kilos niya, yung kanyang agitation, fidgeting, is not going to be a good liar. That's why it still pays to train children to tell the truth. Kahit pa alam natin, they will lie. So we have an inborn lying propensity and we are only delivered from it by grace. So, you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, I said, I am greatly afflicted, and in my dismay I said, all men are liars. So here is the sentiment of a man who has been delivered by grace, and then he can see how men are liars. And this is something that Christians should consider as part of what grace does to us. Not immediately, but growingly. Habang tayo nag-grow, ay lumalayo tayo sa kasinungalingan. Now let us consider forms of lying. The first is the very character of the man is a lie. That's called dishonesty. This refers to the whole person. Kung magsalita siya, kasinungalingan na. Maya-maya kwento ng kasinungalingan. Dishonest person. Dishonesty is bandage of self to lying. Yung siya mismo, hindi na niya ma-distinguish what is truth and what is lie. He is so immersed in lying that when he speaks, he even doesn't know if he's speaking the truth or lie. Because ang issue niya rito ay he's not lying with the tongue. He has a lying heart. This is rooted in a dishonest heart. A man of crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity. So, nagsimula sa puso, dishonest ang puso niya, so lumalabas sa dila. Yan yung lying becomes his very character. Hindi pa yung mismong paglalay niya, kundi siya mismo ay given to dishonesty. And this being honest is tested in small and big issues. So huwag mong sabihin na, I'll be honest if the issues are big, pero it's fun to lie when issues are small. Oh no. Sabi ni Jesus, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. So, hindi mo pwedeng sabihin, just a few $100, that will not matter. But thousands, yeah, hindi ko pakikialam man yan. Pero few hundreds, wala naman sigurong masama. Hindi yan mararamdaman ng taong to, ng sino man. That's whether in small or big issues, that's where honesty is tested. So that's one form. The worst form is the character of the whole person is dishonesty. And how important is it that we should have an honest heart? It extends to the way we profit from the Word of God. Honesty is a condition for the profit of the Word. Nung sinabi ng Panginoon ang parable of the sower and the soils, how the seed did not grow in some forms of soils and grew in another, for what reason? As for that, in the good soil, they are those who hearing the word hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. That means, if you want to profit from the word, listen with honesty. What does that mean? Honesty to the text of the message. Yung ba ang nasa text? That goes for the preacher and the hearer. Yun ba ang nasa text? Tinitingnan mo. Honest ka sa text. And then, honesty to the application of the message. Well, I'll tell you when this honesty becomes the character of the hearer. If he or she comes with the intention of only criticizing the preacher. Yun lang ang kanyang intention. Hindi siya naupo para makinig sa salita ng Diyos. Naupo siya para hintayin saan magkakamali ito. Saan magkakamali? Sa doktrina. Kung minsan, saan magkakamali? Sa grammar. May sinabing ganun si D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was not a very educated man. He was a powerful preacher, but he had full of grammatical mistakes. And someone once came to him na may list ng mga grammatical mistakes niya sa isa niyang sermon. At ang sabi niya, "Sir, I do more good with those errors, grammatical errors, than with your flawless uselessness." So you can be flawless with your grammar and remain useless. Kung naupo ka para lang magbintang, mag-criticize, you'll never profit. And the loss is not the preacher's. The loss is yours. So, pag nakikinig tayo, tingnan mo na lang yung text at yung application, appropriate ba sa text? Now, kung far-fetched, that's when you call the attention of the preacher. But if it is honest to the text and the application is a right extension of the text, then be an honest hearer. So dishonesty is the worst form of lying. Then there's a form of lying for gain. Ito yung madalas nating tawaging white lies. White lies para huwag mapahiya o para huwag inaakala niya manganib o kaya para magka-advantage. May mga halimbawa niyan sa scripture. In the case, this is lying to preserve self from shame or loss, and you can add, or to gain advantage. The case of Abraham, sabi niya kay Sarah, you're beautiful, magkaka-interest sa'yo yung mga tao dito, mga nganib ang buhay ko. Kita mo itong asawang ko, ang inisip niya yung buhay niya. And then, nanganib nga si Sarah, kamuntik ng angkinin ng hari doon sa Egypt, but there was a warning. And ano nangyari? As a matter of fact, Sarah was put to more danger after Abraham's lie. And then Abraham was put to shame. Pahiya siya dahil sa kanyang ginawa niyang pag-lie. That's Abraham. Then you have Sarah. In the case of Sarah, nagsinungaling siya mismo sa mga sugo ng Diyos or perhaps even yung theophany o pagpapakita ng Diyos na sinabing manganganak si Sarah, sinabi kay Abraham sa labas ng tent, manganganak si Sarah 1 year from now. Narinig na overhear ni Sarah, anong ginawa niya? Tumawa, napatawa. Pinasok siya sa loob. Bakit ka tumawa? Ang sabi ni Sarah, Sarah denied, saying, I did not laugh. For she was afraid, and he said, no, but thou didst laugh. Itatago pa, huli na. Ang punto rito, minsan, nagkakamali tayo, pati ba naman sa Diyos, maitatago natin? Hindi natin maitatago. Then, the master of them all, when it comes to lying, Jacob. Jacob was a master schemer, supplanter. Gusto niya ng blessing na by right of firstborn belong to Isaac. So, anong ginawa niya? Pinagsuot siya ng magiging kaamoy ni Isaac sa touch. Nagumamit siya ng fiber na para maging parang hairy as Isaac. Isaac was the father, Esau was yung kanyang kakambal, and pumunta siya kay Isaac na mag-bless. Anong sabi ni Isaac? While Jacob was kissing him, Isaac caught the smell of his clothes and said, smell of my son is like a field. The Lord has blessed. And then, binigay niya ang blessing kay Jacob, which of course, God's providence intended to happen. But nonetheless, Jacob sought it by scheming, by lying. So, and then, kinailangan niyang tumakbo at napadpad siya sa katapat niya. The battle royale of liars, Laban versus Jacob. Ang tapatan niya. But yan ang nangyari. But what do we learn from this? Even righteous people can fall into lying. Kapag nanganib na, kapag napahiya na, kapag may mangyayari na makakapakinabang siya, ay nagre-resort sa lying. But lying often results in more woeful situations. That's what happened to Abraham. So what happened to Sarah, etc. So it doesn't pay to lie when it is to gain. So again, sa mga kabataan, nagtatago kayo sa inyong mga magulang para lang huwag magalit, huwag mawala ang inyong allowance, anong pamang kadahilanan, it doesn't pay to lie. Then, another form of lying is lying with malice. It's a worse form of lying than lying to gain. Lying with malice is lying to hurt or damage another. Wala siyang gain mismo, kundi gusto lang niyang manakit. And this is the kind of lying that is moved by hatred. The motive of hatred. May babalang ganito sa Proverbs. Whoever hates disguises himself in his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When He speaks graciously, believe it not, for there are seven abominations in His heart. So kahit pa magiliw magsalita, naglalay. Kasi malicious. Gusto lang niyang manakit ng kanyang siguro kinaiinisan. So it can be as mundane as ituro sa maling direksyon para lang maligaw, or as hurtful as something that affects the person in a more hurtful way, or it can happen in a legal context. There are many false witnesses. Bayaran mo lang yan. Sabihin, yan ang isang problema ng korte natin. Hindi matapos-tapos ang mga kaso o hindi ma-convict ang mga kriminal because they can hire false witnesses. And they are paid. And when you are a false witness in a legal context, hindi lang legal sa court of law, it can happen in a formal adjudication such as church censure. Ang sabi, remember the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's part of the Ten Commandments. So it's a basic fundamental law. Huwag kang magsinungaling sa konteksto iyan ng batas. But the worst form of lying when it comes to consequences is preaching falsehood. Preaching falsehood is rooted in satanic work of deception. This is what Satan does. For Paul, referring to false teachers in Corinth, says, such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So yung ginagawa ng mga super apostles doon sa Corinth ay inspired ng devil's work. Satan, remember, was the original liar in Eden. Has God said that you shall not eat of every tree, of the fruit of every tree of the garden? That's not what God said, but of course Satan has no intention but to distort. And yun ang una niyang ginawa at ginagawa pa rin niya ngayon, and he has the experience of millennia to hone his skill at lying, and satanic power assists false teachers. Sometimes they are assisted with a false eloquence, mistaken as power, or even miracles, miracle working. Sinabi yan sa 2 Thessalonians 2. Kaya wag nating gawin yung miracle working o galing ng pananalita na sukatan ng katotohanan. Laging sa kasulatan. Tingnan mo yung kasulatan, yung teksto. Doon ka manangan. So, the opposite of lying is always to be mindful God is witness. Now, there are times the issues are serious. You will need to invoke God as witness, as Paul had to do in Corinth. I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Ang bintang sa kanya rin, kaya hindi mo maasahan yan si Pablo. Sinungaling yan. Sabi niya, pupunta siya sa Corinth. Hindi na alam. He was providentially hindered, and in fact, he spared from going to Corinth in order na huwag ma-follow up agad yung severe letter niya na sinabi niya sa chapter 2. In other words, he was mindful of their good, pero ginamit ng mga kalaban niya para pasamain si Pablo. And Paul was forced to call God as witness. So in serious issues, God may be invoked na saksi ang Diyos na hindi ako nagsisinungaling. Ngayon, kung gamitin mo yan, saksi ang Diyos, tapos nagsisinungaling ka palang talaga, mas pinasasama mo ang iyong sarili. Gamitin mo lang yan sa mga talagang seryosong issue at alam mong nagsasabi ka ng totoo. But in ordinary conversation, in most other conversations, ang sabi ng Panginoon, pag ordinary communication, let
let your communication be yes, yes. So, kapag nagsabi kang yes, eh, talagang yes. Hindi mo na kailangan mag-invoke ng God is witness. Yes, yes, no, no, whatever is more than this comes from of evil. So, this is ordinary honesty. That means, you should be reputed to be an honest person. Ibang sabihin nila, yan si ganito, pag nagsalita yan, paniwalaan mo yan. Hindi ko napikitang sinungaling ang taong yan. Ganyan ang magandang reputasyon. Na kapag nagsabi ka ng yes, alam nila, yes. Pag sinabi mong no, alam nila, no. So, let your ordinary conversation have the reputation of honesty, and only in the most serious cases that you will need to invoke the witness of God. But this is the sin of lying, and let us always stop with the sense that God is our witness. Any question? Anything you'd like to ask? So, questions with all honesty. Jin. Duk.
About the tone when the person speaks.
Yes.
How do you address yung it being cultural? Kasi may mga tao who come from different provinces. Now we are the usual talk is at the high pitch. Yun po yung first. Although hindi sa lying yun, but it's in the use of the tongue. And yung misinformed inaccuracy, I'm just thinking na yung being aged, you know, you tend to forget. And so there may be some inaccuracies in how the facts are related. Na possible din po ba yun? I mean, I experience it. Third, yung flawless uselessness. I was temporarily attending a church when I was doing my graduate study. And then there were members who were not happy with the whatever the pastor says in the pulpit. Ako lang, nung I was listening to the sermon, to the message, and I was so blessed with what was preached. And then suddenly, my friends came and saying na itong pastor na to, ang pag-preach niya, pinapatamaan kami because there are 3 families na who are against the pastor. So parang ako, I would relate it to a flawless useless because parang while they are my friends up to now, ang feeling ko lang, why is the good being evil spoken of? Parang ganun yung ini-equate ko dun sa flawless uselessness. And then, what is the difference between swearing and invoking God? Yung 4 na yun, Pastor.
Yeah, so, 4. Sana matandaan ko. Absent-minded. Una, yung sa cultural, we actually address that. Try to get an outline if you don't have, kung di wala kang makunan, bibigyan kita. We said that offensive language is first when you offend cultural sensibility. So that means you have to know the culture, especially sa mga missionaries na pupunta sa ibang lugar. They should know the culture so they do not offend culturally, which you need to know kung ano yung offensive sa kanila culturally. Why? Because sabi ni Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, I try to please all men that I might save some. Ibig sabihin niya ng please all men is please culturally. Yung wag siyang maging offensive culturally, so maging effective siya sa salvation. So tama yung sa cultural. Now, dun sa aged, misinformed, inaccuracy, nangyayari talaga yan. Hindi natin matatawag na yan ay lying. Kung talagang misinformed siya, at may sinabi siya, then you try to forgo o kaya try to extend your understanding on absent-minded people na may akala sila na tama, pero hindi naman nila talaga mini-mean na magsinungaling. So, you have to be mindful of that. Then, dun sa flawless uselessness, yung sabihin mong pinapatamaan ka ng isang para sa'yo magandang preaching, well, that's the usual. Now, there is a fault for preachers na maaring gawin nga nila yun. And I call that cowardice. If you cannot confront a person face-to-face about his or her sin, and then daanin mo sa pulpit, is wrong. But if it is part of your text and sabihin mo sa pulpit, which applies to the whole church, but maaring may tamaan, walang mali doon. Pero yung mga tinatamaan, yan ang mga magbibintang na yan si pastor, gusto lang niyang magtama, magpatama na mga alam nila sila yung nagkakamali at sapul sila ng teksto at ayaw nila sa halip magsisi ay mambintang. That's the resort of those na naghahanap ng mali sa pastor, so they try to be flawlessly useless, while the pastor may be erratic but at least is useful. And the fourth, ano nga yung fourth? We also discussed that. Kailangan kumaka ng outline. Swearing is yung using cussing, pagmumura, at mga bagay na masasamang pananalita o panghahamak, kahit pa nagiging punctuation mark na lang sa iba. Wala kang sinasabihan, pero yung sabi nga last week ng isa ay pag nagba-basketball noon, hindi ka makashoot, napapamura ka. Nakashoot ka, mapapamura ka rin. Wala kang pinapatamaan, pero nagiging punctuation na lang. Kahit walang pinapatamaan, yung word ay offensive. Dapat tanggalin ng Kristiyano yun. So, pero invoking God is in serious matters, kaya nga huwag natin gawin sa mga maliliit na bagay. Saan merong ganitong product? Diyan ba sa SM dito, sa Robinson? God is my witness. Sa Robinson, ang product niya. That's so misplaced. It, just talking of very ordinary things, you don't invoke God. That is violating commandment number 3. Do not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. So, ordinary conversations, just let your yes be yes, your no be no. But when it becomes serious, kagaya ng kay Pablo, binibintangan na siya ng mali, that's when you can invoke God as God is my witness. Other questions? Ito nang huli natin sa sins of the tongue. So, anything on the sins of the tongue you want to ask, Joshua?
May tatlong question po ako. First, medyo simple lang. The case po ng irreverence sa words is, yung paggamit po ba ng GBU for God bless you is irreverent? And second question, nabanggit niyo po kanina yung in the case of biblical truths, dapat yung honesty, yung honesty ang tinatawag ng Biblia. So, naalala ko dun yung mga kwento ng mga Christians in persecuted countries na merong iba nag-conduct ng service sa bus para hindi sila makita. So, ano po yung, how do we reconcile that with staying true to the message of the gospel? And thirdly po ay, in the context na alam natin we have depraved hearts, na how do we reconcile that with yung ethical hierarchy na maging desensitized tayo na kaya na nating mag-reason out na yung makapagsinungaling tayo in the na, nagtatago tayo sa reasoning na ito ay para sa higher good. Ano po yung mabibigyan yung practical steps or advice para hindi po natin
use of abbreviation. I myself as a lecturer, I write a lot on the whiteboard sa GMA, and I often use abbreviation. Instead na sulat ko pa Holy Spirit, I simply write HS. At maski sa inyong handouts, to save space, I use abbreviation. Abbreviation in itself is not wrong. But to make it so ordinary, na kaya mo namang gawin ng buo, na God bless you, bubuo mo rin lang na walang dahilan why you have to abbreviate, it's better to put in full the name of God when there is no reason, no pressing reason to abbreviate. So sa akin, the pressing reason is space and time. I have less time, I'm pressed for time when I'm lecturing, I use a lot of abbreviation. Or pressed by space, handout, I use abbreviation. But ordinarily, let's use the full name of God. Now, as to sa... any second? Nag-preach ka sa bus, may sinabing ganyan ng Panginoon, kung inusig kayo sa ganitong lugar, pumunta kayo sa kabilang lugar, sa kabilang bayan. So, ibig sabihin, hindi ka nagpapahuli ng hayagan. Hindi yun pagsisinungaling. Yun ay tinatawag na discretion. So, discretion means you don't do your good so that you get caught. You do your good as much as possible discreetly so it won't catch the attention of persecutors. So, tama yun. Kung sa bus, yung gawin ang inyong service, huwag yung pumupunta sa bus para mangaral, manghingi ng offering. Huwag natin gagawin yun. Pero yung gamitin mo ang bus just as a camouflage for your service, sila, Pastor Ishmael noon, kinento niya sa akin, na-convert siya sa Saudi Arabia. At yun ang kanilang church, pumupunta sa gitna ng desierto na walang mga police, syempre, walang mga authorities. Nagbibuild sila ng tent, doon sila magsiservice. So, it's just discretion. And then yung third?
In the depravity of our hearts, na we could convince ourselves that this is the greater good, especially misusing yung theological knowledge natin.
Kaya inon natin, yung the recipient is a key here. The recipient has legitimacy and authority na malaman niya ang truth. So kung kagaya sa children to parents, ay may authority ang parents, hindi pwede itago ng anak para lang huwag siyang mapagalitan o mag-grounded, kung ano man ang parusang naghihintay sa kanya, hindi pwede yun. Ganun din sa church, hindi ka pwedeng mag-resort sa lie para lang makaiwas sa discipline at iba pang mga bagay. So, yung mga examples natin kanila, in the case ni... case ni Rahab, tinago ang spies sa mga kalaban. Midwives, pinreserve ang boys. So, meron talagang higher cost and the recipient did not deserve it because they were only intending what is ill. Hindi mo naman masasabi sa parents yun na gusto lang akong masamain o may intensyong masama sa akin. Hindi naman ganun. So, we need to consider both the recipient as well as the higher cost. It must be a higher good. Other thoughts? G.
Sorry, regarding yung dishonesty pa rin ba pagka yung you know the truth and then you were even a witness sa isang pagkakasala ng kapatid but you chose to keep it in your heart and then para lang hindi mapahiya yung person sa mga kapatiran or something like that. So you have to, you know, no disclosure of anything and keeping it just for yourself until such a time na kahit kailangan na ng ng disclosure and you still keep on
no, may dalawang
silent.
May dalawang streams of truth. Ang unang stream, 1 Peter 4:8, which I'll mention later, ay be love one another for love will cover a multitude of sins. So there is the tendency of love to cover sins that do not affect in a way that will be destructive to certain people. But another stream is like Proverbs 27:5-6, the wounds of love are better than the kisses of the enemy. So it is for you to determine anong ginagawa ng taong ito. Kung tuwing may gagawin siya, rebuke ang naririnig sa iyo, you will not be an effective rebuker. But if you are a person known for your affection and ability to let go of matters, but then when a serious matter happens and you face the person and rebuke him, that kind of rebuke is more effective when you have a balanced approach. Pero yung tao, kahit ako, pag yung tao walang ginawa kundi rebuke and fault finding, ay ang natural tendency ko ay umiwas. At yan magiging natural tendency natin. Pero kung kilala natin ang tao na a person of affection, a person of understanding, and yet at a certain point nag-rebuke siya, then we say there's really something to this. So, balanced approach. Other thoughts? Bim?
Kanina yung regarding the use of hierarchy ethics. How can one, considering na yun, we are sinners, and we could misuse and even unknowingly misuse the hierarchy, the ano ba tawag doon? Basta anyway, yun. And what can one do to avoid getting desensitized, our conscience desensitized, and it becoming a sinful habit? Na hindi ka conscious na nangyayari.
Hierarchy only applies when there are conflicts of standards. So that means it's a rarity. Yung mga karaniwang communication natin will either have to be, yung sinabi natin kanina, if very serious enough, invoke God as witness. In ordinary conversation, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Now, when there are conflicts of standards, anong issues? Ang issues ay higher good and legitimacy or the legitimacy of the recipient. Eh, kaya yung mga examples na ginamit ko kanina, talagang may higher good. Preserve lives. Preserve the people of God. Identify with the people of God. And others. So, may higher good talaga, and then the recipients are not the legitimate recipients of the facts. Fish.
Ano po, parang along those lines pa rin po. Gusto ko rin po i-resurface lang yung tanong ni Tita Ting ng isang beses about Dietrich Bonhoeffer na he being involved in yung assassination ni Adolf Hitler, hindi po ba yun yung higher good? Ano po, parang paano nyo po i-weigh yung higher good dun sa situation na yun?
If you knew what Hitler was like and what he was doing during that time, killing millions of Jews, and you had the opportunity, I'll tell you this, if I had the opportunity, I'll kill him myself. If I knew what he would really be like, I'll kill him myself. And I think that is a very clear hierarchy of a very evil man who will impose his evil will on the world with millions of deaths resulting. Kaya Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Protestant pastor in Germany. And along with others, hindi lang siya mag-isa, may iba pa na nagkasama sa plot to have Hitler assassinated, kaso pumalpak. And Hitler put in his diary, it is by the providence of God that he was spared. So, even a very evil man can invoke providence, and then even if the plot failed, that does not mean the plot itself was wrong. It would have stopped what later on turned into carnage of World War II kung natigil lamang si Hitler. So, I believe that it is right in terms of hierarchy of ethics, and I'm an admirer of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. At a time that Hitler was already losing the war, nandiyan na ang Allied forces, wala na siyang magagawa. In a spate of irritation, he had Bonhoeffer executed. So, ganyan kasama ang taong yan. So, I would have no problem with someone who, in his righteous anger, indignation, would kill Adolf Hitler. Bim?
Regarding misinformation, I would say there are misinfos that are sabihin natin na okay lang in the sense that hindi siya walang negative effect, but there are also misinfos that can do damage. Then of course there are unconfirmed infos. What should one do if one has told a misinfo or an unconfirmed info that has done damage?
One word is verify. Verify the information. Now, ang sinabi ko kanina ay misinformed inaccuracy is not lying. So kung misinformed siya talaga, tapos may sinabi siya, which turned out later to be false, that does not mean the person lied. It means that he was simply misinformed. So, hindi natin kinoconsider yon na lying. But, deliberate misinformation to do damage, yan ang tinawag ko kaninang lying with malice. Yung wala naman siyang advantage, kundi makasakit lang ng kapwa, that's lying with malice.
Yung regarding na siguro with good intention but has done damage. Saka yung sinabi mo kanina, verify. When do you verify? After you have said it or before you say?
Well, if you trust the person enough, sometimes you don't need to verify. But at other times, especially someone who is prone to mistakes and inaccuracies, I verify. I do that with some students. Other students, I take for granted na yung ginagawa nila ay honest work. So, it's a judgment call on the part ng the one verifying. But yung misinformed inaccuracy that does damage, then it's still not lying, but the one who creates damage will be responsible for the damage and must make, according to the Mosaic law, restitution. Paul.
Pastor, lahat naman siguro ng mga magulang ay sinasabi sa mga anak nila na huwag magsinungaling. Yung pong, what really strikes me is yung sinabi niyo kanina that for a child to refrain from lying, a parent must train them on telling the truth all the time. I mean, parang ganito yung sinabi niya. So in, siguro it would take another Sunday school lesson, but in very brief terms and in practical ways, ano po magagawa ng parent in concrete ways yung pagsasabi niya na yung mga anak niya ay hindi nag, na magsasabi palagi ng katotohanan?
Well, yeah, it may take another seminar or what, but it begins with, from the very beginning, teaching them to tell the truth and the Ten Commandments. Diyan papasok yung from the early stage, you teach them the Word of God, the sin of lying. And that lying, kapag deliberately and knowingly done, willfully done, I should say, willfully done, will have its matching punishment. So, pag alam mo, kumuha siya ng cookies na sinabi mo, wag na wag kang kukuha ng cookies before we have our meal. And then, nakita mo yung 10 cookies nandun, 5 na lang. Ito na lang ibang sealed naman, so walang nakapasok na daga o ano. O tanungin mo siya, saan napunta yung 5 cookies? Eh, pag sinabi, nagkaroon sila ng agreement to join forces. Kung gumawa siya ng story, pero obviously, nagsisinungaling siya, that's willful lying. And that should deserve punishment. Meaning the use of the rod. But yeah, it's a whole big issue that we should discuss more. Last thoughts. Ferdy?
Sir, pwedeng sa mga past lessons. Yeah. Una po sa gossiping, Pastor. Hanggang saan yung boundaries natin doon sa pagsasabi ng halimbawa, mga secrets? Kasi halimbawa may mga trusted friend or friends tayo na may mga bagay tayong gusto sabihin sa kanila na hindi naiwasan yung mga facts and truths halimbawa sa isang tao. Minsan kasi parang ikakaroon tayo ng problema doon hanggang sa may mga tao na, na nasasabi tayo. Pero yun niya, totoo. At niya, mga katotohanan yung sinasabi natin. At pangalo, Pastor, yung regarding crude or offensive language, minsan ay parang mali yung lugar or yung panahon na nasasabi natin yon, although maganda yung ating intention, pero hurtful yun.
Well, una, telling secrets. If it was intended by your confidant, nagsabi sa'yo, especially if you're, like I am, a pastor, you'll hear many secrets. And as I've often said, I'll go to my grave with those secrets, with not a soul knowing except the person and myself. So I'll go to my grave with those secrets. Isusulat ko sa epitaph, pero but it's part of the pastor's job to absorb secrets. And the book of Proverbs says, those who tell secrets separate the very friends. So it's never right to tell secrets if it is intended for you na privileged information. In fact, sa law, bawal yan. We have doctors here, di ba? Bawal na if it is a privileged information, or between a lawyer and his client, if it is a privileged information, you just cannot tell around dahil may law of confidentiality. So ganun din, sa ordinary conversation, kung secret na sinabi niya sa'yo, unless of course it's going to harm someone else. Sabihin niya, uy, may secret ako, may nilagay akong bomba na sabog dito. Unless yung obvious na ganun, it will harm someone else. But if it is a personal secret na pinaalam niya sa'yo for you to pray for you to counsel him, well, you were privileged to, if you may confidence siya sa'yo, then keep the confidence and keep the secret. And where called for, yeah, go to the grave with those secrets. So, other last thoughts? Meron pa? Sige, last chance. We're talking of four sins of the tongue. Gossip, flattery, crudity, and now lying. So, maraming mga aspects ng sins of the tongue. Any last thoughts? Joshua?
Follow up lang po dun sa nabanggit nyo in terms of confidentiality. Yun po yung mga cases na we could be in confidential doon sa mga naririnig natin if meron pong ganong cases.
May case na?
In confidentiality.
In confidentiality.
Like for example, may nabanggit po kayo kanina na to harm someone na kailangan nyo nasabi. Ano pa po yung...
You're not held to confidence if you know that that will harm someone else because in law, you become an accomplice. Gusto mong kasabwat na may nalaman ka at hindi mo sinabi, mananagot ka sa batas kung may masaktan na ipinaalam sa'yo. So, ganun din sa mga kapatiran, kung may masasaktan, una, sabihan mo siya, itong gawin mo, pag hindi mo ginawa, ako ang magsasabi mismo. So, bibigyan ko siya ng time to rectify the situation himself. Pero with a warning na if you don't do it, given a reasonable time, I'll correct it myself. So, yun ang kapag yung matter of confidence, hindi talaga pwedeng matter of confidence because it will harm other people. So, meron pa? Well, isang bagay na dapat totoo sa lahat ng mananampalataya, sinabi ko kanina, sin is a universal fact. We all lie, we all sin, we all commit a sin of lying. But if you are a Christian, you were saved by the truth. And so truth should now become pervasive as an influence in your life. And that will spill over into your manner of speaking. You will speak what are truths according to what we have learned today. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, mahabagi naming Ama, nagpapasalamat kami na mapag-aralan namin ang mga bagay na may kinalaman sa kasalanan ng aming dila. As your word says, it is a small member of the body and yet what big things it does. With the same tongue, we praise and bless God. And yet with that same tongue, we curse men who are created in the image of God. And now as we think of the sin of lying, Father, it was truth that delivered us from sin. At dahil sa katotohanan, nawa maging mga tao kami na ang impluensya ng katotohanan ay buong buo at sinisikap namin sa aming paggamit ng pananalita sa pagsasalita man o sa panula na gumamit ng katotohanan at ayon sa ikapupuri ng iyong pangalan. Tulungan mo kami sa mga sitwasyon na maaring kailangan naming pag-isipan ang mga bagay na mayroong concern of hierarchy of values. Those are rare concerns, but help us to be wise in the application of this. And Father, may our reputation include that of being men and women of honesty. Men and women whose yes is yes, whose no is no. And when serious matters transpire, we can invoke God as our witness. So be with us in this matter. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.